Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio. This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
WGN 611, Pete McMurray in for Steve Cochran. Great to be here, guys. This is nice.
Dr. Oz. You here.
Dr. Oz will join us at 640. I always have a list of questions to ask Lou, and he will tell you this. I think I sent him four text messages this week asking him things. I think he's done with me.
Is that why he changed his number?
He is so done. He's so upset. I need a window guy. I needed a chimney guy. You know, Lindeman Chimney, of course. I just wanted the phone number.
Yeah.
Instead of looking it up, because Lou's got a guy. So if I'm going to call Lindeman, I want to have a guy over there.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And then my question today is, can you, you know, we walk in off our deck through our backyard. Can you put salt on your wood deck?
That's a great question, because will it ruin the wood?
I don't think you can.
What are you supposed to put on it then?
Yeah, what do you do? You're going to slip? Because we walk up the deck and walk in the back slider. Mm. Why don't you walk through the basement?
Well, put, like, kind of brush the snow off the deck.
He's probably going to say sand.
I was just going to say, you know what, not to put sand.
Because sandal
does nothing.
No, it does nothing. No,
it's supposed to build up traction on your feet, but I'll never forget. I was in Champaign at school, and there was a huge ice storm.
Yep.
It was my first winter, you know, away from home. You're 17 years old, and it was a huge ice storm. They had sand instead of salt. People were sliding everywhere.
Everywhere.
Couldn't even get up to your dorm room.
Yeah, and people in Wisconsin use sand on the roads. They use sand a lot instead of salt.
They do.
Yeah. That does nothing, though.
No, it doesn't.
It doesn't
why do you think there's so many accidents?
Walsall, Wisconsin.
Why use it, then? Okay, seriously, though. Why
it's
use
cheaper.
Sand? But it does nothing. It's like putting pepper on there or like oregano.
Yeah.
Now I'm getting hungry. Now I'm going looking for a good
They do
dish.
Make a safe salt for decks, because I had this problem too, Pete. I did a little research on it.
I got to buy the safe salt for the dogs and now a safe salt for the decks.
I think it's both, because the stuff I got is safe for pets too.
What a scam too.
Yeah, it is, right?
It's a scam.
God, totally.
I mean, why is salt so expensive?
It's like organic.
Jeez. All right, time for the 6 at 6. Let's roll.
From the Steve Cochran Auditorium in the lovely Sunrise Hotel, it's time to get your kicks. With the top 6 at 6. Sponsored by American Weathermakers, the home of the 60-Minute Man.
At number one, Senator Al Franken has resigned from the U.S. Senate after a number of women accused him of sexual misconduct. I think the number is now 8.
It is 8, and what an emotional speech. I mean, there was a part of me, I think he had to resign, I really do,
yep.
In light of everything.
Yep.
It was very emotional, didn't you think?
On his way out, he said, "I of all people am aware that there is some irony that I am leaving while a man who has bragged on tape about his history of sexual assault sits in the Oval Office and a man who has preyed on underage girls is running for the Alabama Senate with the full support of his party."
I'm so glad he said that because it's so true.
Yes. And now we hear that Representative Trent Franks, a Republican out of Arizona, has announced his resignation on Thursday because the House Ethics Committee said it was opening an investigation into sexual misconduct.
Yeah, and this was a really crazy resignation letter as well. Apparently he had approached a few staffers talking to them about surrogacy. He and his wife were wanting to have a baby, looking for a surrogate, which, again, I mean, there's so many things wrong with this. I guess I could say at least he owned it, acknowledged it, and is resigning. But come on, guys, really? You're going to go to your staffer?
What are you doing?
And you're a ranking member on the House Ethics Committee?
Can you start with your family first?
Right.
Please. All right. The LA fires are spreading because of powerful Santa Ana winds up to 80 miles an hour. 125,000 acres have been burned in Southern California. Does anybody have friends or family in Southern California?
My niece is there.
I have a few friends, and they said it's scary. There's smoke everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Everywhere. It's ridiculous.
Weird, the pictures, too. Like we were saying yesterday, you're driving down the highway. Was it the 405, Dave?
That's the 405.
Yeah.
You're driving down the highway, and on either side, there's just... You're engulfed in flames. It's like you're driving through a tunnel and there's flames on both sides.
I have a friend that lives in Sonoma and lost his house during that last round of fires. was staying with friends in Los Angeles and had to evacuate from there now.
Ugh. 400 schools closed because of the toxic air. There's so much smoke. It's visible from the space station. Have you seen the pictures?
Have you seen the the reporters, too? They're doing the reports, the ones from Channel 9 yesterday, reporting from the sister stations out there. And
right.
They're wearing masks, goggles, like ski goggles, and masks, and doing their reports because the smoke is so thick.
I mean, I love my house, but if there's a fire, I'm leaving.
You have to.
What? I don't understand.
Got to bail.
Don't we all have house insurance?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Okay.
Yeah, but I don't think you ever can prepare yourself for something of that magnitude.
You're right. I mean, pictures now, everything's on your phone or in the cloud. Mm-hmm. What do you need from your house?
Nothing.
Anything?
Think about that.
Your Emmy Award.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, you need that.
Did you see the video of the guy saving the rabbit?
Yes. Wasn't that great?
I didn't. What was he doing?
Got out of his car,
yes.
Fought off the flames, and he was trying to pick up this rabbit on the side of the road, and he saved it.
And the headline was so funny. It said, "A man restores faith in humanity as he saves the rabbit."
I don't think I would have done that.
I watched this video, and I was just like, calm down, sir, calm down, because he was jumping around like, oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God.
Save the rabbit.
I saved bugs.
All right. At number three of the 6 at 6, a teacher in Woodland Middle School in Gurnee handed out an assignment teaching kids about propaganda and gave the kids a picture of My Little Pony dressed up like Hitler, giving the Heil Hitler salute for homework.
Yeah, actually, there was a photographer at Channel 9 whose son goes to the school and was given this as a homework assignment, and that's how the story broke. It just kind of spread, and it's unbelievable to me. It's supposed to be a lesson about propaganda and the rise of fascism in Europe, which led up to World War II.
They were supposed to draw a comic strip for little kids that gave an example of Europe's appeasement towards Hitler.
It was 8th grade.
Really? And you thought this was a good idea to send it home with your kids?
Especially, there's a picture of My Little Pony. We were talking about the picture yesterday, and he's raising his hoof, I guess it would be in the Heil Hitler salute, with a swastika on his hoof.
And he's got the Hitler mustache.
Yeah.
Who drew that, first of all?
I'm assuming the teacher.
Hey, Tommy, can you draw this? We're going to do an assignment later on in the week. All right. The school has since apologized.
Wow.
At number four, the two out-of-towners, the visitors who claimed they were robbed at knife point while walking on Lower Wacker Drive Thursday morning, made up the story.
It was weird, too, because when they were describing what they lost, they were at Columbus and Lower Wacker, and they told police they had all their belongings stolen, including a wedding ring valued at $12,000, a suitcase purse worth $3,000, the MacBook Air laptop, $2,000, a $300 suitcase, and an iPad mini. What are you carrying all your stuff for?
When I first heard this story, a $12,000 wedding ring and you're walking on Lower Wacker Drive.
Didn't sound right.
They are being charged for filing a false report. Yeah. At number five, the Cubs announced that they've signed pitcher Tyler Chatwood to a 3-year, $38 million deal through 2020. Who is Tyler Chatwood, Dave?
Tyler Chatwood is a veteran right-hander who last pitched for the Colorado Rockies. He did undergo Tommy John surgery a couple of years ago. That was in 2014. Missed the 2015 season. Came back last year. The last couple of years, he was 8-15 last year. A 4.69 earned run average, but he was better on the road than he was at Coors Field, where that's usually the case, where pitchers are better on the road than they are pitching at home for the Colorado Rockies. And, he's an affordable pitcher who fills a void for the Cubs in their rotation, where they have a couple of spots open.
They need help.
And they need help, and they're very high on this guy. And, you know, they've done pretty well at finding guys that maybe aren't the big names and haven't put up all these
that are
gaudy
three or four
numbers
in the rotation.
Yeah, and I think you have to have some faith that this is going to be another one of those finds.
So this is good. You like this?
I don't see any real downside to it. It's not like it takes them out of bidding for anybody else they might go after, and they're still supposedly in contention for Shohei Ohtani, the Japanese pitcher.
Sure, everybody wants this.
Yeah, but
Seven
teams left, but you have to have the international signing money, and the Seattle Mariners have the most money now. They made another deal yesterday to get some more. So, I mean, it's complicated. Cubs can only pay him a certain amount.
I like his name.
Tyler Chatwood.
Yeah.
Chicago Cubs. And finally, the 666, Game of Thrones fans, listen up. The eighth and final season of Game of Thrones. Do we have fans on this show?
Yes.
Nope.
I've never seen one episode.
Love Game
of Thrones. They started filming back in October, but you won't see it for a year. Sophie Turner, who stars as Sansa Stark.
Yeah, Sansa.
Sansa Stark on Game of Thrones.
Sansa.
Sansa Stark.
She's technically the Queen of Winterfell.
Sansa. She said, she told Variety that it won't be back until 2019.
God, I know, and I'm so bummed.
Sorry, guys.
Because they left it. I mean, weren't you guys just left on the cliff there?
Oh, yeah, I was. Yeah, how about you, Pete?
When Jon Snow slept with Khaleesi? My God. No. And now you find out.
Of course, HBO is going to milk it because they did this with The Sopranos. Remember?
Yeah.
They waited a year, and then they brought it back. They did it a few times.
Didn't they do it with House of Cards, either the first or second season?
That's Netflix, though.
Oh, yeah. Darn them.
Yeah. House of Cards. Yeah.
They're doing these breaks in all the shows now, too. I can't stand it. They break during Christmas. They come back in January. What's the deal with that?
What's the point with... Remember we used to just watch a show?
It carries the audience.
But remember we used to just watch a show
Happy
and it would go to the spring. Go
Laverne and Shirley? Yes.
Back in the day. Now they have the winter break, the fall break, the spring break.
The 6 at 6 is brought to you by our good friends at American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men. Let's do this. Let's do two callers. We're going to give this away first. Right, Mike? Caller 6 gets a desktop indoor weather station brought to you by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men. So caller number 6, 312-981-7200. I'll pick that up from American Weathermakers. And caller 10, let's do Lou's first call. And we'll have a little something for you. You can ask Lou a question, and we'll give you something from American Weathermakers.
It's Lou's first call with Lou Manfredini and Steve Cochran, brought to you by American Weathermakers.
American Weathermakers, we won't be comfortable until you are.
It's our good friend Lou Manfredini. You can hear him every Saturday morning right here on WGN. Talking over his music.
Hi, Pete.
Hi, Lou. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I want to apologize, first of all, for bugging you this week. I sent you about 15 text messages. You sent me to Lindeman Chimney. Who was your window guy? I can't remember.
Gilkey.
Gilkey Windows. Mm-hmm. I needed a window guy to lube my windows. Needed a few...
lube your windows?
Wait a second. Nice. Yeah.
What?
You know the crank handles?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. The crank handles break, but that little metal thing, the tracking... I have three windows that have... They're broke. I need somebody to come out and fix
the tracks.
Yeah, the tracks.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
I don't know that Gilkey's your guys for that.
You got a guy?
I got a guy.
Okay.
Yeah. You're in the city, right?
I am in the city.
Yeah. We can change that hardware out.
Okay.
Hey, I got a Dr. Oz connection for you. I heard you're going to have Dr. Oz on.
640, yes.
Yeah, our daughter Carmen was an intern for his show in New York for 6 months.
One of the nicest people I've met ever.
She said he was delightful.
Yes, he's just so kind. Yeah. Great guy.
Mm-hmm.
Question. I have a list of questions, but I know we're running late.
You do not get the April Air Wi-Fi thermostat, by the way.
You can't win.
Here is my question. We walk in from our garage. You know, we live in the city, so you have your garage, and then you have your yard, and then you walk up the deck into your back kitchen with the slider.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of salt can I put on my deck?
So there you want to stay away from rock salt. You want to use like either potassium chloride or calcium chloride. And quite frankly, what I've been suggesting to people over the past few years, a newer product that's come out is liquid calcium chloride. And this is it's a pretreatment, but after you do it a couple times, it has residual value. So it's literally a liquid that you put in a spray bottle. And when you know it's going to snow, so you're, you know, watching, listening to Skilling, and he tells you, hey, tonight's going to snow, you go out with the sprayer and you spray down the deck. You just get it wet.
Okay.
It's not slippery, but what happens is it kind of absorbs into the wood, and as the snow falls, it won't allow the ice to form. Now, the snow will, if we get 6 inches of snow, it'll accumulate, but then when you go to shovel it, nothing will stick. When you shovel that deck off, it'll be clean as a whistle.
Where do I pick that up?
It's your local participating Ace.
Ace. Give me the name of that again.
Well, one's called Liquid Snow Shovel. The other one's called Liquid Calcium Chloride by a company called Quick Joe.
I mean, I could talk to you for an hour about questions around my house.
I know a good Ace in Edgebrook you can
do. Do you?
Yeah, right.
Okay.
Yep.
You got a guy. Mm-hmm. All right, let's go to Lou's first call. Andy, what's your question for Lou Manfredini?
Morning, Lou. Hey, I got a home that I just built about 4 years ago up in Volo. and I want to start doing the basement in it, and I want to put carpeting down. Is there a preparation that I need to do before the carpet actually goes down onto the concrete?
Two things. Obviously you want to make sure your basement's dry, and hopefully after 3-4 years you've got a nice dry basement. You want to make sure you seal that concrete to control the dust. There's a great sealer. There's a company out of Kenosha called Bone Dry Products. Their website is bonedryproducts.com, and they make the best concrete sealer. It's a commercial floor sealer that they put under all the floors at, like, you know, retail places, Lord & Taylor and Eddie Bauer stores and stuff like that, so that water doesn't infiltrate and come up. The other thing that will help you a lot is there's a underlayment that you can buy. You got to go to some of the big boxes, like a Menards, to find this. It's called Dry Core. It's a 2-foot by 2-foot piece of plywood that has metal galvanized feet on the bottom. Now, the overall thickness of the thing is about 3/4 of an inch to 7/8 of an inch thick. You're going to lay this down on the floor, and it locks together with cam locks, and you're going to create a little wood subfloor with an air gap. That's going to keep the floor warmer because you're not directly on the concrete. And then if you ever got a little leak, a little bit of moisture would stay underneath that floor and not get to the carpeting.
Fantastic.
Okay. Yeah, that's the best way to go. It costs a little bit more money, but it's the best way to go.
I could understand putting wood down onto concrete and having the same problem, but I never heard of the metal feet on it.
It has a little stimple of galvanized metal on the bottom. It's almost like a texture, but it raises the plywood up, and then it's the metal that comes in contact with the concrete.
Andy, hold on. We're going to set you up with an April Air Wi-Fi thermostat, allowing you to adjust the temperature of your home's air on your smartphone. Brought to you by American Weather Makers, home of the 60-Minute Men. Call 855-955-HVAC, and you can tune in to Lou Manfredini Saturday mornings, like last week when he was drinking champagne on the radio.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, mimosas.
Technically, I was not drinking any of it. I was just doing the description.
Sounded like your staff was chugging it.
Yeah, they were.
Yeah.
They're younger than me.
You know I listen every Saturday morning.
You're the best.
All right. Thank you, buddy.
Have a nice one.
I just think it's truly amazing that any question, he can answer right off the top of his head.
Absolutely.
Oh, Andre can answer most of them.
Some. I've worked with him for 10 years.
Yeah.
But I'm not Lou Manfredini. He's the expert. I just read the script.
Lou Manfredini brought to you by our good friends at American Weather Makers, the 60-Minute Men. Quick break, and the big story is what?
Big story is going to be we're getting an apology from the Gurnee School District about this Hitler home assignment. Yeah.
All right. It's 720 WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Pete McMurray in for Steve Cochran. It's been a while since we've talked. I'm so happy to have him back on the show. You can see his television show weekday afternoons on Fox 32. His new book is entitled Food Can Fix It. Please welcome back my personal physician. It's Dr. Oz. Doctor, how are you?
He's doing very well. I'm waiting for the last copay, by the way.
Have you been in for your physical lately? Because mine's coming up in February, and they always say doctors are the worst patients. Do you go in?
We are the worst. I do go in, but they have to get me dragging, screaming like most patients and most doctors. But, you know, part of the problem is we know too much. I could sort of predict when I've got an issue, and I tend to go there. But I bet you I'm a every other year patient. I'm pretty good about that. It just every year it seems I feel so good. Why would I bother? And then, of course, they find something I don't want to know about. I'm like everybody else.
I would hate to be a doctor to go to a party, but if you're Dr. Oz, you're on TV and you have, you know, all these books, people will approach you and just tell you their problems nonstop.
Oh, for sure. And they should. It's okay. I tortured my teachers for years in order to learn all the things I learned. So it's poetic license and justice that I'm bothered back by people. But it's not really the crazy questions. It's where I get asked them. That's sort of always interesting me. Like, I was flying back yesterday from an event, and I the person sat next to me, and it was, you know, 2 hours of Q&A.
Of course.
Going through a full review of systems.
You have an audience with Dr. Oz. You're going to take advantage. Now, you have a new book. This is your first book in 10 years. Am I right?
Yeah, you know, I wrote all the U books. Maybe a lot of listeners might remember them. There's a finger pointing at you. And basically, and they were called U, the Owner's Manual. And my co-writer was Mike Roizen, who was at the University of Chicago. And so we had a great time just playfully talking about the human body. And it's actually launched my career. I started doing the Oprah show, which you all know I did 60, 70 times. I'd go out there dutifully to Chicago, sit with Oprah, and you know, go over things about the body that were cool. And she's my partner now, before we launched my show. But the book part of it sort of fell to the side because I was so busy. And also I realized that I needed to say about food in particular, which is the number one way we find our health, needed science to catch up. It's not easy for your mind to say chicken soup's good for you, but it takes years for scientific discovery to figure out why. Turns out there's prostaglandins, the heat plays a role, there are many factors why it works, but it took a while for that data to come up, and it probably bubbled to the top. And so I decided to write Food Can Fix It, because I thought it was the right time in the right place. And I wanted to emphasize something that I've learned through my career. I'm a heart surgeon, so I see this especially in the heart, that if you walk into a grocery store, you should acknowledge you're walking into a pharmacy, the power of those nutrients in the foods, but also the touch of the food, the smell of the food. They all have a profound influence on you. In the case of chicken soup, it's the heat. The steam actually loosens mucous membranes. And so the huge treasure trove of insights we gain now that we can put together the understanding of why these foods help us with actually knowledge of the foods themselves should make health findable in every home, in every kitchen in America. We need to make that happen.
Doctor, I was kind of a segue to that. This is kind of the time of year where some people are saying, oh, I think I have a little tickle. I'm getting a little cold. I don't know if it's allergies. But then you hear other people say, oh, I'm going to kill it with vitamin C or chicken soup or liquids. Is there anything this time of year when everyone's kind of starting to get the cold and the sniffles, anything you can do to either prevent it or offset it?
Well, I'll give you two tips. Vitamin C actually helps a little bit, but what really helps more probably is zinc. And zinc is found in oysters, but found in Brazil nuts and other foods have it as well. Or you can take a little zinc lozenge. But I like to get nutrients from foods if you can get them. But the other thing for colds and flu this time of year is sleep. And sleep is incredibly powerful in helping your immune system, which at the holiday season is hard to do. But here's the other part. Food helps you sleep. Melatonin, which is a chemical made in your brain but also found in tart cherries, for example, naturally lets your brain feel like it's nighttime as you go to bed. And so there are foods that can help you sleep. And some foods, as you know, when you eat them, especially late in the day, can really mess with your sleep. Mm-hmm. Turns out caffeine is not as bad for sleep as many of us thought. And alcohol, as long as it's more than 3 hours from bedtime, doesn't hurt sleep either. So there's some things you can do, some things you can get away with, and some things you shouldn't do to for your sleep. And that indirectly affects your colds. So again, food can fix it, this time not just directly, but indirectly too.
We're talking with Dr. Oz. The name of his book is called Food Can Fix It. What about vitamin D as in dog? I take 3,000 to 5,000 milligrams a day because I found out that I was low in vitamin D.
You're not alone. 80% of folks living in Chicagoland are probably deficient in vitamin D. Mm-hmm. Not enough sunlight in the winter months, not only because it's cold and you won't go out in your shirt, hopefully, but also because the rays are so low in the horizon, you don't get enough direct sunlight in your skin. And especially if you have a genetic predisposition, you'll have low D levels. Vitamin D is a hormone. It actually profoundly affects you in many, many important ways. And your immune system is one of the most powerful ways that it affects you. That's why we think vitamin D levels may actually help with things like cancers as well as just getting a cold. And most people don't have enough, so they got to take the vitamin D supplement. You can get it from mushrooms a little bit. There's some food sources, but this is the one nutrient that we're designed to get from the sun. And if you look at places in the world where they get, like Papua New Guinea, where they're living the way humans lived 10,000 years ago, their vitamin D levels are in the 50s. If you can hear my voice now, there's a really, really good chance yours are in the 20s.
Isn't that crazy? It's crazy what you'll find out. And I know you got to go do your TV show. Can we do a quick lightning round here? How do you feel about protein powder in the morning?
Strongly supportive of it. It's as long as you're not going to get protein from other sources. Protein is one of the most satiating foods in the morning. It replaces sugar and saturated fat, neither which is all that good for you. And if you're not going to take protein powder in a shake, because you guys have to get up at crack of, even before the crack is on, but the average person, get protein in one of the meals you eat. I like to get it in dairy, and you can get it from eggs, other sources, but you got to get your protein in the morning.
Is dairy bad for you?
dairy can be inflammatory for a lot of people. So if you happen to have an issue, if your ancestors didn't always eat a lot of dairy, then you want to use hemp milk, soy milk, almond milk. There are many sources that can replace it in your diet, or just get rid of those, that whole food group. If you don't have a problem with it, and you can tell by two things, do you get bloated or a little queasy after you have it, and you feel like you're swollen? Because you'll get up in the morning, your eyes will feel like they're a bit more droopy than usual. Those are some of the classic signs. But this is one of the big areas. You know, we've talked about this, Pete, many times. There are more bacteria in your gut than cells in your body. The big battle for health is often fought there. And food, again, can fix that or hurt it. So if dairy's mucking with the bacteria in your gut, you got to get rid of it, because it'll cause the bloating and, you know, the discomfort many experience. But it also has probiotics. It has bacteria in it, and you want that bacteria in your gut. So if you can get away with it, I think it's reasonable.
One of the best advice that you've given me is listen to your body. If you're eating food that bloats you or you're waking up swelled up, don't eat it.
Right. There you go. There you
right.
go.
You got to pay attention. People right now, struggling and waking up, looking in the mirror, they can't even see their irises. Their eyes are so swollen shut. Something bothered you that you ate yesterday.
Right.
You got to pay attention to it. You can't just write it off to a bad night of sleep.
Doctor, favorite winter indoor cardio, treadmill or elliptical?
I like the elliptical. Okay. I play football in college. So like most people play a lot of sports, my knees start to ache if I go running too hard. But I'll tell you something else I do. I don't just go on the elliptical. Every 1 minute out of every 10, I'm doing some kind of weight work, push-ups, sit-ups, pull-ups, something that forces me to build muscle mass, and that's my interval training. So real quick, 9 minutes you go your normal elliptical, treadmill, whatever you're doing. Then 1 minute, some pose in yoga, some lifting of a weight, using your own body ideally, that forces you to really stress yourself, but it also builds muscle mass. What hurts us is frailty. What kills Americans is not cancer and heart disease. It's frailty. If I got rid of all the cancer in America, we'd live about 2, maybe 3 years longer. But we're unable to weather the storm of the cancer because our bodies have gotten frail. So you got to stay strong.
Dave?
All right. Well, I do all the things you just said, doctor, as far as exercise. But what about when you're feeling the symptoms coming on? You're under the weather, because I go right to the gym. I say, I'm just going to fight through this. Is that a good or a bad idea?
Great question.
It's a good thing. So let me just break the hierarchy down. Number one most important thing is sleep. If I'm asked the question, do I sleep or work out? Always the answer is sleep. But once you've gotten sleep out of the way, let's say you've gotten your 7 hours, which is ideal for most people, a little more for some, then you want to go work out. Because lying in bed when you're not sleeping and just sort of, you know, feeling miserable but not doing anything about it actually hurts your recovery. This is true for aches and pains, too. You have a little lower back pain, you're better off usually doing some yoga, something that sort of loosens you up and gets you going, taking a brisk walk, than just lying around.
Weekday afternoons on Fox 32. Food Can Fix It, name of his new book. Dr. Oz, great to talk to you. Merry Christmas, sir.
God bless you, Pete, and good to connect.
All right.
Take care.
See you, buddy.
Thanks, Dr. Oz. Great advice. Sleep and then work out.
Sleep
is
the most important thing. But he gave me advice years ago. He said, listen to your body. If you're eating food that you're just swelled up and you feel terrible, or it's sitting in your gut like a lead weight, don't eat it anymore. You're hurting your body.
Mm-hmm.
And, boy, I'll tell you what, 7 hours of sleep, that's good, because I get that in a week. So I feel better.
Let's take a look at traffic, Mary.
And I love sweat it out. Go work out if you're feeling something come on. It helps. I've done it.
This is 720 WGN Chicago.
Thanks again to Dr. Oz. I want you to think about the advice that he gave you guys, and he gave me years ago. If your body feels weird, you got to listen to your body.
Mm-hmm.
If it's run down, like he told you, Dave, get some sleep. It needs sleep.
Your body. Not
Dave's body has never run down.
Well, he's talking about if you're not feeling well or you feel something coming on.
Zinc, sleep, elliptical.
Vitamin D is in dog. He said, if you can hear my voice, you're low on vitamin D. Everybody is.
Mm-hmm.
I had a blood test taken years ago, and they ran all my blood for everything because cancer runs in my family, and I just wanted a blood test.
CBC.
Dangerously low on vitamin D and iodine. I was low on iodine. I couldn't figure out why I was so tired.
So what foods are rich in iodine then?
I just take supplements every morning. Just give me a pill. Make it fine.
What about Mercurochrome?
Did you have enough Mercurochrome?
I don't know. I have to check.
No,
don't
you remember all have a fancy yes. dish at a what fancy restaurant.
Whenever I think of iodine, I think of Mercurochrome.
Come on, Pete. You and I from the big families, that's all we had was Mercurochrome.
Right. Here, just put
We're
that on a
to
cut.
The doctor.
What was that stuff?
What is that?
It was off.
It was like
an antiseptic.
It was the red thing, right?
It was the
right?
red thing.
It would poison.
You had a little brush and you put it on your cuts.
Yeah.
You didn't
just
well,
imagine
you're too
putting
young.
Rubbing alcohol that. On a cut.
Oh, I just pour peroxide. Yeah.
But it was
all
red.
It was burned.
Oh. Andrea, it was before your time.
Yeah.
Coming up next, another doctor, Dr. Lauren Stryker, who I just love. She has a female clinic at Northwestern, and she's going to be raring to go this morning. So we'll talk
best.
To her in Hamp at 7:40 this morning. Pete McMurray in for Steve Cochran, 7:20 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 7:20 WGN.
Show me his milk, raisin in the grass.
Seven 12, Pete McMurray in for Steve Cochran. Our next guest, she started the very first female clinic at Northwestern, which is a shocker to me. You would think that they would have this years ago. The Center for Sexual Medicine and Menopause. Welcome back to the show, Dr. Lauren Stryker. It's great to see you. Hold on a second. Am I pressing the wrong mic? Go ahead, talk again.
Oh,
no, there's a problem
hold
there.
Hold on a second. All right. We're moving you. I like how the staff, everybody on the show, gets up. Okay. Mic 3 not working. Just an FYI. Hold on a second. Wait. It was in.
All right. Can you hear me now?
Wait a second. Hold on. Here.
Uh-oh.
Go ahead. Talk
Good.
Talk Where again. Wait. Hold
now?
It. Hold on. Here, hold on. Go ahead. Try this.
How's this?
There
That's
you
it.
Go.
I thought I was just being censored
All
already.
Right.
I hadn't
there
even gotten
is.
Started.
Thank you. We're out of time, Dr. Lauren. Thank you
it's
for coming in.
It's been a pleasure.
In.
Thank you so much for having me.
It's great to see
you.
Thank you for coming in, first of all, this early.
For a surgeon, this is not early, FYI. You know, surgeons, we're by this could be my second case already. You know, we get up very early in the morning.
Here's my question, because yeah. I've had, you know, a few surgeries the last few years, like my ankle, knee, you know, meniscus, just small surgeries.
None of my parts.
I was just going to say.
Small surgery.
None of her specialties.
What is the best time to go in? Do you want to be the first surgery of the morning?
Yes.
Because the doctor's ready to go.
No, because you're going to go on time.
Okay.
You know, when you think about it, if there's 3-4 surgeries scheduled, these are all estimated times, our best guess of how long a surgery is going to take. And for a patient, it's really hard to sit there and wait. And so this idea of you want to be the first one because your doctor is going to be fresh, your doctor is going to be fine throughout the day. It's really just a lot less stressful for you if you've got a 7 a.m. surgery and you're rolling off at 7 instead of
first.
Just sitting there waiting. So you're going to go on time.
Do you ever get tired of standing all day if you have
no,
surgery
No, I actually
all day?
Don't. And I stand all the time. I work at a standing desk. I rarely sit. And you kind of move around. You know, you shuffle a little bit. You move around more than you think in surgery. So
you told me sitting is the new smoking at one
sitting
point.
Sitting is the new smoking.
Yeah.
You know what?
Right? That is so true.
Isn't it true?
It's
Lord
true.
Wow.
It's true. And I find that if
that
I
makes
am sitting,
sense.
It
yeah.
makes sense. And not only do most people spend too much time sitting, but they don't sit with correct posture. So then at the end of the day, when they have neck pain and back pain and everything pain, they don't realize it's because they've been sitting all day. So even if you can't stand all the time, you know, we also, you know how you like send an email to the person sitting at the desk next to you.
Yep.
You know, stand up and walk a little.
Walk over
bit.
And
yeah,
talk to them.
It's a good thing.
Last time we had you on, you said something where I'd say probably a half a dozen people reached out to me and said, did that doctor really say that? You said there's a correlation between vitamin D and pregnancy.
That's
last
right.
Last time you were here.
That's right. That was a study that came out that I reported a couple weeks ago that looked at vitamin D levels in fertility clinics specifically. And what they found is that women that had normal vitamin D levels were more likely to conceive and more likely to carry to term. And, you know, certainly we need more studies, but I feel like that's such an easy one.
You it's an
know?
Easy fix.
It's an easy fix. You can take a vitamin D supplement. It certainly isn't going to hurt. And if it makes that significant of a difference, go for it. So I think, you know, the thing is, especially here in Chicago, we wear sunscreen. Get your vitamin D levels checked. Don't assume that your vitamin D levels are normal.
Have you had yours checked?
No, I have to have
yeah,
them checked.
It's easy.
And when
it's a
you,
blood test.
It's
it
right.
is.
It's
right.
Just
right.
A
blood everything's
test.
A blood
and
test.
When
you,
everything's blood
when you go for your yearly, well, women and men too, obviously, but when we go for our yearlies, we should ask for, hey,
you
CBC?
Should ask,
yeah.
Because nothing is automatic. I think a lot of people think when they stick their arm out and they give a couple vials of blood that they're testing for everything.
Right.
And there is no such thing. You know, it's a very targeted thing. It's like STD screening. You know, when someone comes in and says, test me for everything. or better yet, they come in and they say, well, I have this new boyfriend. And don't worry, he's been tested for everything. And I'm like, there is no everything. There is no everything.
It's interesting that you say that, because when I get my blood tests, I always ask to get my testosterone checked, because they don't do that. Cholesterol, testosterone, vitamin D, when I get my blood test, my yearly blood test. Should women get their estrogen checked? Is that a blood test?
It is a blood test, and the answer is no. And that's actually one of the things that happens a lot. Someone will come in, and they'll give me this piece of paper and say, oh, my God, my estrogen is really low. And it's like, okay, your estrogen was really low at 2 o'clock on Tuesday when you had your blood drawn, but maybe at 3 o'clock on Wednesday it wasn't low. Because women are complicated. I'm just saying.
No.
Women, they're a little complicated.
No.
And she's talking medically, not emotionally.
And no. We cycle. The point is our hormone levels do not stay stable throughout the month. So when you go to the doctor and they say, if you're still getting periods, and they say, well, when was your last period? It matters, because we interpret everything based on where you are in your cycle. And so getting an estrogen level is generally not helpful. And women spend an awful lot of money in going to doctors and getting these levels checked. And there are times when I certainly check it, and it's useful to me, but it is not something that should be checked routinely.
Got it. Dr. Lauren Stryker in studio. We're going to talk more with you in a second. 722, Pete McMurray in for Steve Cochran in studio with us. Dr. Lauren Stryker, she started the very first female clinic at Northwestern, the Center for Sexual Medicine and Menopause. As women get older, I guess as people get older, their sex drive goes down. But I feel like it's even harder for women to kind of get in the mood after a certain age.
Does it depend on which women too? I saw her eyes light up.
It depends on which women. And you know, and you're absolutely correct in that biologically, we're meant to have sex for one reason only, and that's to have babies. So biologically, the time that everyone's sex drive is going to be at their highest is when they're, you know, biologically best having babies, and that's in their 20s. But having said that, we know that there's a lot of other reasons that people like to have sex. And as men and women get older, we sometimes need to kind of fight that. And it does become more important, because it used to be, you know, in your grandparents' age when they were 60, 70, sex was really on the back burner most of the time. But now people are living longer, high divorce rate, new relationships in the 50s and 60s, and sex has come to the front burner instead of the back burner, and you want to make sure it's still burning instead of on cool.
This clinic, you talk to women about menopause, because every woman is different, and you make that known.
Absolutely. So the clinic and the website to get more information is sexmedmenopause.nm.org. NM is in Northwestern Medicine, where there's a lot of information. But, you know, one of the things that we always talk about is that because of increasing life expectancy well into the 80s, women are literally living half their life after the menopause transition, which can happen as early as in the 40s. I think a lot of people think this is something that's older. And people are kind of blindsided, because they think, oh, it's not going to be so bad. You know, I'll tough through it. A little few hot flashes. Maybe I won't sleep as well. Well, it is really that bad for a lot of women, and they're not offered solutions. So that's why we were so excited to start this new center, because we do offer solutions for women, both hormonal and non-hormonal, for the hot flashes, the weight gain, the sleeplessness,
the mood swings,
the dryness, the mood swings,
everything.
You're not
moody.
Hey. Never.
You had some great stats just now, too, though, because I said, do you offer, are women going through the change earlier?
No. The menopause transition in the United States, the average age is 51, but keep in mind that is average. And I cannot tell you how many women come in who are in their earlier mid-40s and say, this can't be, I'm too young. No, it can be. And any time after 40 is considered normal, even though 51 is
really
normal. And there can be some very profound changes early on. And in addition, a lot of women are at risk for an early menopause because of maybe a medical illness or maybe chemotherapy or surgery. There's a lot of reasons that someone might go through that transition a lot sooner. And people are just not ready for it, because their doctors aren't talking about it. They're not giving them solutions for all of these issues.
Because of the new relationships and everything that you had just mentioned, can women be going through the change and at their sexual peak?
Oh, absolutely. You know, one of the things that we know, when you look at libido, for example, which is the most common sexual complaint that we get, I don't think about sex, I don't want sex, I'm not interested in sex. And there's so many things that impact on that, not just hormones, but neurotransmitters, dopamine, serotonin, all that. And then, of course, relationship. And we know that one of the things that's going to impact on libido more than anything else, and we've all been there, is the new relationship, when you just are like, I just can't get any work done. I'm thinking about sex all day long because I've got this new person in my life that I'm really excited about. So certainly it's a waxing and waning thing. And a lot of times someone will come in and I'll say, you know, how are things going sexually? Are you having any issues? And they're like, no, everything's fine. Or I don't really care. I'm not interested. And my response always is, okay, maybe not now. You're not interested now, but
sure.
But maybe sometime you will be. And if you are, come on in, we'll talk again.
I want to bring in Mary. Mary, you had a question for Dr. Lauren Stryker.
Doctor, when I was having kids, 20, 30 years ago, whatever, drugs, we were never on any kind of drugs for anxiety, depression, and we just weren't. And now it seems like every young girl I know in 20s, 30s are all on these drugs. How does that affect them getting pregnant, and can they take them during their pregnancy?
Well, first of all, you're absolutely correct in that there are a lot more young men and women who are taking these medications. And, you know, these things are hard to test in pregnancy because it's not like you're going to take 1,000 women and say, 500 of you take the drug, 500 of you don't take the drug, and let's see which babies have two heads. No one's going to do that experiment. So any information we have is really just kind of accumulated data. And we do know that some of these drugs are safer than you would think. And it always comes down to the greater good. You know, if I have someone who literally is going to be suicidal off their drugs, well, you've got to work very closely, the obstetrician and the psychiatrist, to make sure that she's taking drugs that'll be safe during pregnancy. But the other thing that to your same point, we have all these people on these drugs and they don't realize the impact that it has even on their libido. Because what do antidepressants do? It decreases dopamine. Yep. Dopamine is the neurotransmitter in your brain that makes you think about sex and want sex. So I just saw yesterday in the clinic, a woman comes in, she's like 27 years old, and she said, I have no libido. And it had never really occurred to her that it might be her antidepressant that was the culprit.
Is there a female Viagra?
Yes and no. So what a lot of people commonly called female Viagra is a drug that was FDA approved 2 years ago, flibanserin, also known as Addy, and it was out there as the pink pill, Viagra, but it's not Viagra because Viagra, of course, is to help male genitalia do what they're supposed to do,
right?
Addy is not for that purpose. It is, in fact, for libido, to make people think about sex and want sex, and certainly in certain women, it works very, very well. But having said that, do we ever prescribe Viagra for women? And the answer is, yes, we do. And in fact, just yesterday I did. It is not FDA approved for women. But what we have found is that for some women, the big O is more like a little O, or just isn't happening at all. And particularly women who are on antidepressants or women who have certain medical conditions like multiple sclerosis or diabetes. And we find that giving a very small dose of Viagra can very often help in terms of blood flow and making things happen the way they're supposed to.
Good to know. Dr. Lauren Stryker, what's the website again? People can check it out.
The website to find out more about the Center for Sexual Medicine and Menopause is sexmedmenopause.nm.org.
Love it. Thank you for coming in. It's good to see you.
Good to see you.
Thanks, Dr. Stryker.
It's 720 WGN.
We're an animal!
Dan Hampton anchors a young Bears defense.
An animal!
It's time for Dan Hampton.
7:40, Pete McMurray in for Steve Cochran. Just when you thought the season couldn't get any worse, we lose to the 49ers. The Bears play the Bengals on
what? They
Sunday.
Lost to the 49ers?
Yeah, the worst team in the league. Yeah, we lost on Sunday. Our former kicker, Robbie Gould, looked like a pro bowler.
As predicted here in this spot 1 week ago at this time when I said Robbie Gould would kick a field goal to beat the Bears by 1 point. Just want
really?
To point that out again.
Dan Hampton every week is brought to you by your Chicago Land in northwestern Indiana Chevy dealers. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com. We'd like to welcome to the show number 99, the Danimal, Dan Hampton. Losing to the 49ers, did Fox lose the team this week, or did he lose it weeks before?
No, you can't say that he's been at the wheel. Come on. Hey, this is a bus careening off of a cliff. And unfortunately, you're going to see everybody's running for the exit. But at some point, it just like Mr. Katz said, it's almost become comical, making these predictions. And unfortunately, they come true. Think about this. The the Bears have scored one touchdown in the last 125 minutes of play.
Oh, no.
One touchdown, 125 minutes. Okay, games are 60 minutes. You're supposed to get the ball half the time. That's 30. 30 goes into 125 four times. So, essentially, in the last four games, they scored one touchdown. So, when you asked, is Fox still at the wheel? I don't know. I'm just telling you, this thing has gone. It's gotten ugly. And how far down? I mean, you know, everybody goes. You know, Fox has already proven that he's the worst coach in Bears history. With you know, his winning percentage is now below that of Abe Gibron, a favorite of Mr. Katz, by the way. He used to go over for his 4th of July.
Really?
I remember his commercials. He would be dancing with Melody in the car commercials. Remember that, Pete? You were down in Peoria.
I don't. I was down in P-Town.
Okay, sorry.
Yeah. I was a baby, Dave.
I bet a lot of our listeners remember those commercials. That's all I'll say.
But I just got one question.
Yeah.
If the Russians have to pay such a high price for doping, what is Fox going to be asked to pay, right, for being a dope?
How come, Hamp?
Think about it.
How come our offensive coordinator, Kenny Dowell Loggins, how come he doesn't get any blame for the offense? I know Fox is to blame for the entire team, but our offense looks horrendous.
It is. And the lion's share of the problems, especially with the, you know, everybody goes, there's a difference between being a coordinator and a play caller. Play caller is the guy that, you know, gets his buddies out in the park and says, okay, I want you to, an offensive coordinator has to devise a systematic plan to take advantage of the defense's weaknesses. Now, hey, if you've got nine all pros, like the Pittsburgh Steelers used to, you can go out there and do what you, we ain't got nine all pros. So we need to decide on how we're going to take advantage of a defense's weakness. See, an offense is only as strong as its strongest link. Defense is only as strong as its weakest link. So you got, we don't do anything. We don't stand up. You know, normally you'd think with a player like Tariq Cohen, you would do last night, the Saints did an amazing job with depleted ranks, a lot of injuries, but a lot of their play calls, their play selection, it was, you know, they would run the zone stretch play, and then they would run like a half boot and then throw it back to the back after the linebackers go, oh, it's not the zone stretch, it's a boot. It was. That is what you do when you are a legitimate offensive coordinator. Unfortunately, there's only been one instance all year that I can honestly say this is something you put on film and say, hey, this is an offensive coordinator going to work. That was the first quarter against the Detroit Lions, and what was the result? We were up 10-0 at the end of the first quarter. I mean, it looked like a well-oiled machine. We haven't seen it before or since. That's all in the lap of Dowell Loggins.
It's just so painful to watch. More with Dan Hampton in just a second. He's brought to you by ChevyDriveChicago.com. .720 WGN, Bears play the Bengals on Sunday. On the phone with us, Hall of Famer number 99, Dan Hampton. I just want to paint a picture for the people that are listening right now, because I've hosted with you on Sundays the post game, and I want to paint a picture that everybody gets together before the game, and they go upstairs on the 7th floor, and they sit in the conference room with the long table, and the TV's right at the end, and Hamp sits right in front of the television. And when a bad play happens, he puts his feet up, watches the game, and when a bad play happens, he stands up, he throws something at the TV, and he says words that I've never heard before.
You know,
never.
Don't you think we should Facebook Live that one week?
Absolutely. Because you got Hamp on the corner in front of the TV. You have OB right across from him who looks like he's going to rip your neck off. And then at the very end, in the back of the room is Kaz.
Chirping.
And everybody sits in the same spot every single week. It's the funniest thing. It is.
It's assigned seating. We know what we have to do. But let me just say this. You know, we were just unfortunately, you know, talking about bygone days of Abe Gibron and all those things. But, you know, there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of really, really crazy stuff happening with this football team. This, you know, I mean, the lowest point total. We are the last team in the league in, as far as red zone trips. Think about this. Think about this. Red zone, just getting the ball inside the 20 of your opponent. That's called a red zone trip. We've had 22 all year. 22.
Yeah.
And what are we, 3-9? Okay.
Yep.
Do the math. I mean, that's less than two a game. That's not scoring a touchdown. So, you know, all and again, you know, the great OB says week after week, hey, fans, we don't come in here wanting, you know, to – you know, beat this to death, but my goodness, this is bad, and we are not, you know, going to be complicit with the Fox regime and them basically running, the storied franchise, the bedrock program of the NFL into the ground. So, you know, I just, you know, it's almost like week after week, most people go to be entertained and watch, a great athleticism. We're going to like a car wreck that we're watching week after week. We got to get this thing figured out.
Yeah.
Hamp, I think if you had asked anybody before the season who is the Bears' best, well, let's just say Bears' best offensive player, they would have said Kyle Long. And now he's on IR, second straight year, fought injuries all year, started and missed the first two games of the season coming off the surgery last year. Is this a problem now for the Bears, the health of Kyle Long as they look towards 2018?
Part of the underwritten story of an NFL career is how well can you cope with injuries? Because they're going to happen. And, you know, that was one of the things that made Walter Payton so amazingly great. Mm-hmm. You know, he went to get knee surgery in the offseason, like a routine maintenance trip, but most players would not have played. But he finished the season with, you know, some cartilage chips and bone chips in his knees, and that's going to be the tell of the tape. Kyle Long is was a very good player, but the last 2 years Jordan Howard has been our best player because Kyle has not been able to play healthy. And you, I don't think I ever felt good after, you know, my third year. But you got to play, and you got to find a way to play great if you want to be, you know, looked at as a dominant player. And he hasn't been able to do that. I admire the fact that he went into the season with a, you know, optimistic frame of mind, and he tried to do the best he can. But he's barely been good. And most of the time, he's had to leave games. And at some point, you just got to say you got to pull the plug.
Right.
So it's upon him. He's the master of his own domain. He's got to say, I got to get my shoulder fixed. I've got to get my ankle reoperated up. You got to find a way to get yourself healthy because at some point, that's, you know, you're the one. You're the one that has to look in the mirror and put your head on the pillow. I don't think he came into the season healthy. Well, he's got to figure out a way to get himself right for the next year.
We're talking with Dan Hampton, brought to you by ChevyDriveChicago.com. You mentioned after the third year you didn't feel good. Were you in constant pain? I mean, just being an NFL player, I'm sure you have aches and pains throughout the entire season, but what about in the off season?
Hey, I know roofers and firemen and people that have fallen, they don't feel good, and they go to work. What I'm talking about is, you know, your body.
Yeah.
Once you start taking, you know, the blows and the injuries, your body is never going to be the same. You know, my lovely bride, she fell off of a little rock wall, and it took her like 6 months for her knee sprain to come back. But I kept telling her, it'll get better, and it'll take a while, but it'll never be the same.
Yeah.
So,
you know, Pam, she still hits a golf ball farther than any woman I've ever seen.
Gina.
Gina's fantastic.
Gina's a great
I want her
golfer.
As my permanent golf partner.
Hey, Yeah, Andrea, the secret is, he says, I picture Dan's face on the back of the ball.
No, she loves you. No, we're playing him, and she's
that's
like,
a wife
she's
for
like
you.
Where's my honey? Where's my honey? Sorry,
wow,
Gina.
To the moon. Anyway, but what I'm saying is, that's really, you know, and Jordan Howard, he's going, you know, he's got the shoulder, he's got, every year you're going to, you know, accumulate more nicks and bumps and knots and things aren't going to work the same the next year. Well, that's the true test of a professional, and we'll see if Kyle can overcome that. But yeah, it was almost, you know, like I said, he tried it out. He tried to gut it out. Well, it's time to pull the plug and try to get him well for next year.
Wow. Do the Bears win on Sunday, Hamp?
I hope so. You know, everybody in the paper is taking them. I'm just saying the Cincinnati Bengals are no prize. And, you know, they gutted their best game of the year trying to beat the Steelers on Monday night. But they were called for 13 personal fouls, 173 yards and penalty yards. I mean, they are just a dumpster fire at times. And, you know, after the game, everybody needed counseling. But I'll tell you this. If they play like that, they'll beat the Bears. I don't think they can. I don't know. It's going to be a short week. It'll be very, very interesting to see, you know, how they come and approach the game. But ultimately, we got to do more on offense. We've got to push the ball down the field. Dow Loggins, this game is about Dow Loggins.
Yeah.
Who are you? Show us who you are. And you know what?
I think he has.
Be here next year. He needs this on his resume. He needs a great outing. So let's see if you can get the young quarterback stoked up and maybe pushing the ball down the field.
Have a great weekend. We'll listen to you on the postgame.
We have to get his pick.
Oh, well, didn't you just say that the Bears?
But we need a score.
Oh, all right, give us your score.
17-15.
Okay.
I got Bears 24-20.
Yeah. I think the Bears lose. I think the Bears score 2 field goals, 20-6. They lose at Cincinnati.
That'll be
great. I'm a season ticket holder, too.
I know you are.
Uh-huh. Hamp, we'll talk to you on Monday. We'll listen to you on Sunday. Thank you, buddy.
Peace on earth. Go Bears.
All right. Dan Hampton, the Danimal, always brought to you by your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealers. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com at 7:58 on 720 WGN.
Listen, learn, laugh. 720 WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show, live from the Allstate Showcase Studio on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
8:11, Pete McMurray in for Steve Cochran, looking out the Allstate Showcase Studios on beautiful Michigan Avenue here at the river. It looks like a very nice day outside. That walk from the parking lot into Tribune Tower, I thought I was going to freeze.
It was cold.
It's like 20 degrees.
I had a hat on. I had gloves. I was bundled up. I had a scarf.
It's December 8th.
It
here
is.
In Chicago.
I know, man. I'm just saying.
You know,
okay. All right.
All right.
Dean is doing the toy drive at WGN Television, so you have the entertainment stories today.
Apparently it's very successful out there, too. Chance the Rapper is out there at WGN TV for the toy drive. So hi to everybody out there. Hope they're having
Pat
a lot.
Pat Tomasulo, without facial hair, he looks like he's 17.
He does.
All right.
By the way, his new show debuts in just a couple of weeks, Man of the People, on WGN TV.
Pat is my neighbor. I've seen him once in 4 years. Walking in the neighborhood.
Well, the TRO's been lifted, though, right? I'm kidding. He does not have a TRO on.
Yes, he does. Okay.
All right.
What do you have for us?
All right. Well, a couple of things. First of all, we all know that Colin Kaepernick was GQ's Citizen of the Year, but GQ is doing something kind of unique this year for December. They're putting out 4 covers. They have basically 4 people of the year. They're calling them GQ's 2017 Men and Women of the Year. Any guesses for Bad Hombre of the Year? Bad Hombre of the Year.
Harvey Weinstein.
Should be. Stephen Colbert.
What?
Stephen Colbert? What?
Yeah.
Why?
Doesn't say.
Okay.
Well, you have to read the story. It's a long article. Wonder Woman of the Year. That's an easy one. Wonder Woman of the Year.
Wonder Woman of the Year.
Gadot, what's her name? Which I can never say.
Gal Gadot?
Gal Gadot.
No.
Wonder Woman of the Year.
Yeah, of course she is.
What?
Yes,
why?
That's who I was going to say.
Wonder Woman.
Stand by.
What has she done besides star in a movie?
Oh,
that's it.
Here's what she did. She starred in Wonder Woman, but she also said, "I'm not going to be in the sequel if Harvey Weinstein or anybody, any of the alleged sexual harassers have anything to do with it." And she's the franchise. I mean, she's Gal Gadot. She's the new Wonder Woman.
I know, but okay.
And then Champion of the Year. You guys should know this one. Champion of the Year.
Floyd Mayweather.
Kevin Durant.
Oh, okay. Kevin Durant.
Yeah.
Okay,
so
well.
Those are your GQ men and women of the year.
I got to be honest. I didn't think GQ was still around, to tell you the truth. Their articles were always too long.
Oh, they, yeah.
I could get through maybe a page or two, but
that's
six
surprising,
pages.
Because you still dress like you just came right out of off the page.
Appreciate that, Dave. Oh, thank you.
Yep. Except you wear Christmas plaid.
All right, other news.
I'm right here, Mary. Like, you know that, right?
I like Christmas plaid. Uh-huh. All right. Game of Thrones, we talked about this a little bit earlier. One of the stars of the show, the actress who plays Sansa Stark, telling HBO that they are filming. They were hoping to return in 2018 now, but Sophie Turner says they will not return until 2019, even though winter is here.
So they're going to wait a year. HBO is going to wait a year like they did with The Sopranos, and they're going to milk it, even though they started filming in October.
Right. And here's the thing, too. The eighth season, which is reportedly the final season of Game of Thrones, it will contain the fewest episodes. There's just going to be six episodes in the final season of Game of Thrones.
Boy, they're milking this, aren't they?
Boy, and each episode will be
six episodes,
approximately an hour and a half in length, and they're going to have four different directors to helm the final.
I haven't watched one episode. You're a fan?
I binged it over the summer. A friend of mine said, you have to watch it. It's awesome. It's great. So I started out, and I'm not, let me just preface it, I'm not like a period piece medieval. You know, I like those movies, but it's not like my genre. I wouldn't sit there and binge it.
Yep.
I couldn't stop watching it, and I almost was kind of depressed when it was over.
I'm watching season two Stranger Things right now.
It's good, isn't it?
I'm still on season one.
It's season one, good.
Good.
Season two, you're happy to see everyone. It's good. Yeah.
Yeah, and you know, and this isn't a spoiler or anything like that, but I'm wondering if they're ending it thinking, okay, this will be the end. Because season one didn't really have a cliffhanger.
Yeah.
And season two doesn't really either.
Well, he spit that thing in the sink, so you knew it was going to be a season two.
Yeah.
It sounds odd if you haven't seen the show, but
very scary.
You'd understand. And by the way, The Crown comes back when?
Oh, that's a good question.
Anybody watch The Crown here?
I do.
It's coming back.
It comes back. Yes.
Yeah, it's like today, tonight. It comes back tonight.
What?
Yeah, Netflix.
I'm not a period piece.
Oh, my gosh.
No, I'm not either.
The Queen Elizabeth.
So cool. She... You know, because we always thought the queen kind of had a, you know, something stuck up her, you know.
Yeah.
Because she was always, and it just shows a different side of her in some aspects. And
very likable, isn't she?
No. But in some
aspects. I don't watch it. I don't know.
No, but it's so good. But the girl that plays her.
So hot.
She is.
Yes.
She does a tremendous job. You should watch it.
The Crown is a very good show.
It is.
And I would be the last person to watch a show about Queen Elizabeth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Other news here. Sarah Paulson, wonderful actress. Don't you think Sarah Paulson just can play anything? She played Marcia Clark.
Yep.
She's in, what's the American Horror Story? She's now the star of that. She's just a fantastic actress. She's being honored in Chicago on January 22nd, the 2018 Women in the Arts Luncheon honoring Sarah Paulson. She'll be interviewed by some actors from the Steppenwolf, so kind of her peers interviewing her.
You would absolutely kind of be able to get her in. I would put in a pitch for that.
Yeah,
to
absolutely.
Have her stop.
She had an interesting story. E! Online and USA Today published a story today. She is romantically linked. She's in a relationship with Holland Taylor.
Who is how old?
Who's 74.
Yes.
And Sarah Paulson is 42.
Right.
And she said when they first met, they connected on such a mental level because Sarah Paulson described herself as kind of an old soul. And they've been together now for almost a year and
time.
A half.
Yeah.
And get this now, especially with all this Me Too, hashtag Me Too going on now, Pete. Sarah Paulson was told by many in Hollywood, keep your relationship under wraps. Not only because she's an older she's a woman, but she was an older woman. Isn't
Come
that
on.
Crazy? Yeah.
I don't think anybody cares.
She said, she can't figure out what
People
the big deal was.
People just don't care anymore.
Right.
We all have enough problems.
My God, no kidding.
Jeez.
Moving on. Speaking of problems, Meghan Markle, who is engaged to Prince Harry, doesn't want to have any problems. So she's going.
Dave, where did Meghan Markle go to school? I can't remember.
She is a Northwestern Wildcat.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. Okay.
Go Cats.
Go Cats.
Meghan Markle's going full Karate Kid ahead of her royal nuptials, and she has hired none other than Michael Jackson's former bodyguard to teach her Taekwondo and Jiu-Jitsu.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Matt Fitties.
What, to fight off the paparazzi
is
or what?
His name. Uh-huh. Celebrity security advisor and trainer will teach her mixed martial arts and self-defense. It's also a way to help her get in shape ahead of her wedding with Prince Harry. That'll be in May.
How likable is that couple?
Adorable.
I mean, the two boys without a mother. I mean,
yeah.
The queen has done a good job raising those two boys, but Harry just seems like such a likable kid.
Aren't they great kids?
Yeah.
Such great kids. And little George and little Charlotte.
Are you going to tune into that wedding?
Oh, yeah. Aren't you?
It'll happen, what?
It'll be our time. It'll probably be 5
Late
or 6
night,
in the
right?
morning. Yeah.
I mean, early in the morning,
early in the morning, yeah.
What is it, May? What? It's May, right?
It's in May. Yes.
Cool.
Let me put that in my Google calendar.
You didn't get an invite?
I don't know. We can maybe cover it. We can tag team and cover this, you guys.
I got a thing. I mean, I'm busy.
You guys.
Got to go to Vegas. Yeah.
I bet there, you know what? Speaking of Vegas, I bet there's some sort of odds on the wedding. Like when she'll.
Oh, absolutely. Those prop bets.
What she'll, yeah, the prop bets, yeah. If she'll wear white because she's divorced.
Well, that's right.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah,
exactly. That's a big deal, this marriage.
All right, and one more for you. How about this one? So what Air Jordans does Michael Jordan wear on his fancy beach vacation? Well, he was photographed wearing not Air Jordans, but now there's all kinds of speculation. This is all over TMZ, all over the Hollywood photo galleries today. Michael Jordan on his yacht with black shoes, smoking a stogie, and now people are wondering if these are the new Air Jordans or if he's wearing shoes that are not his own. I know. Big, big scandal. He's
I would venture to say they could be a different brand.
Funniest part is the article. They said that we called multiple sneaker experts to find out the make and model, but no one had ever seen these particular kicks before.
He's got a lifetime agreement with Nike, right, Dave?
Yes, yes.
Lifetime, lifetime contract with Nike.
Yeah.
I mean, they're black shoes with a white sole. That's a big deal.
Were you guys ever we have to get the latest Air Jordans, got to get the latest kicks?
Yeah.
You did?
No. I did have a pair of Air Jordans back in the day.
You're a Converse
guy.
When
I played basketball, two guard, I'm a shooter. Thank you, Andrea.
You're welcome.
All right.
Is your special someone always cold and sleeps in socks and a sweater? Give her a gift that's guaranteed to get her to peel off those layers. The new Mink Chop. We don't need the music. The new Mink Chocolate Hoodie Footy by Pajama Graham. An easy way to heat things up this holiday.
Oh, yeah.
It combines the warmth of a comforter with the coziness of footy pajamas. She'll be feeling warm in no time. Pajamagram's newest hoodie footy has chocolate brown marshmallow. What was that? Fleece zip off feet and a drawstring hood. Super comfortable and has cute sporty appeal too. Plus, that full length zipper comes in pretty handy when things really start to heat up. Like all world famous hoodie footies, the Mink Hoodie Footy is available only at pajamagram.com. Make it a hoodie footy holiday. She'll be happy head to toe. You don't even have to wrap because every Pajamagram includes free gift packaging. Christmas delivery is guaranteed. Visit pajamagram.com or call 1-800-GIF-PJs and tell them you heard it. Can I get one more, Pete? On WGN Radio.
I don't even want to read this
now.
Read this, Dave. Make Sundays your official night to do what?
Make Sundays your official night to tour the city.
Whoa.
Watch Chicago. Watch Chicago's best.
Brittany and Elliot, thank you.
At 10 p.m., then stick around for the latest in shopping, entertainment, and events on See Chicago, 10:30 p.m. on WGN-TV.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thanks, Steve.
8:25, Pete McMurray in for Steve Cochran. Can we get serious for a second? You had Mark Sapelsa in here for 4 hours.
Oh, he was awesome.
One of the most beloved news anchors in town is retiring. Tonight's his last night on Channel 9.
He's beloved because he's so good. He's one of the best journalists, if not the best news anchors you'll ever see on TV.
I've known Mark.
He's a great guy.
I've known Mark for a very long time, wanted to wish him good luck. Yeah. So, as Mark retires from WGN-TV, we'd like to welcome one of the most talented people in Chicago, the person who is the brains behind the news machine. It's Mark's wife, Candace Sapelsa. Candace, how are you?
I'm okay. How are you guys?
Let me send you my condolences because the adjustment period will probably be very difficult for you.
Yeah.
I'm not planning on that, but anything could happen, I guess.
Candace, we're here for you, too, if he starts, you know, walking around the house barefoot, mumbling, not shaving.
Well, here's my question. If there's a breaking news story, does Mark tell you the news in his serious news voice for a few weeks as he adapts to retirement?
Oh, you know, he's so ready to let go. I'm not sure. I don't know. It could happen, though, honestly. This is a whole new avenue for both of us. My sister says, you know, you've never spent that much time together. I know you love him. She's like, you know, you could be divorced in a year, or you're going to be honeymooners for the rest of your life. I'm going to go with B.
I'm thinking so. Knowing you guys, probably B.
He did tell us that did you get the pickup truck, though?
Yeah.
Yes, exactly. When he said he was getting the pickup truck, the whole family cringed, and then I realized, you know, this could be my ticket.
For Montana? Is that what we're talking about?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so, we'll. I think it's going to be good. I have said to him, I'm sure you really don't know how many hours live in a day, because he's constantly going. And, you know, at first I was worried about it, but now it seems that more people are worried about me, because I like to stay busy. I have all my friends here. Truthfully, I have more friends than he does, because he doesn't have time to have friends outside of work very much. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. So I think he's a pretty resourceful guy. And he's pretty chill, too.
Candace, are you going to have to teach him dinner etiquette? Like, we sit down at the table, we eat the food, we don't eat in our car, in the live truck.
Oh, my God, that is so funny.
It's so, right?
Right.
Because now he's going to have to sit down and eat food.
True. And literally in 29 years together, we have never had Monday through Friday dinner together unless we're on vacation.
Wow.
So, yeah. I mean, honestly, I met him. He was on the 10 p.m. in Minneapolis. And I worked during the day. And so literally, we've never had dinner. And he mentioned the other day, will you let me start cooking? And I was like, yeah.
About time.
He says, I'd really like to start doing some cooking. I'm like, great. Go for it.
Go for it. You can take it. Yeah. What was his opening line when you two met back in Minnesota back in the day?
Oh, my gosh. Do you really want to know?
Oh, yeah, yes. Absolutely. Yes. He was the 10 o'clock news anchor.
Yeah, but do you know where we met?
Where?
Well, we met at the biggest pickup joint in Minneapolis at the time.
A bar?
Yeah. Uh-huh, in a bar.
Oh,
yeah,
in a bar.
We told our kids we met in church until they were old enough to go to that. Then we said, actually, I was standing here. He walked up to me here. Yeah, we kept saying we met in church. And they bought it for a while.
And what what did he say to you?
Well, I was out with my sister on her 30th birthday, and I watched a competing station, so I didn't know who he was. And I actually watched Paul Majors, Ron Majors' brother, who was in Minneapolis at the time.
What?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, seriously. And so my sister and her friends and my friend said, I think all those guys work for Channel 5. Well, there were women falling all over their table, you know, and I said, ugh, annoying, you know, whatever. And so we ignored it. And then at the very end of the night, he came up and just whispered in my ear and said, I know you don't know who I am, but if I tell you my name and where I work, will you call me? And I looked at him and thought, well, he's really cute. And then I said, no, how about I tell you my name and where I work and you call me? And he did.
Nice.
Yeah, that's awesome.
That's how it went. And I worked at the Twin Cities Reader, just like the Chicago Reader. So he found me in the masthead, even if he had had a few too many, he was able to find me in there, I guess.
Good for him. I mean, look at that. Walked up, and good for you for holding out.
And how soon after your first date did you get engaged and then married?
Okay, so we dated for about 3.5 years.
Okay.
So, yeah, and we were engaged not terribly long before that. I can't even remember, but maybe about 6 months before we got married, we got engaged. But we did date for about 3.5.
Wow. Candace Sapelsa, Mark's wife, on the phone with us tonight, 9 o'clock on WGN is his final newscast. He's retiring. All right, let's go to the lightning round. True or false? Number one, after the retirement news was made by Mark, Larry Potash called dibs on Mark's desk. True or false?
I think false.
I think that's true. I think Larry is starting to move his stuff in right now.
Really? Really?
Yes.
Oh. Yeah. That's news to me. It could be news to Mark.
Okay. I was there the other night. I didn't
look
see
at,
that.
Look at you guys. You work at GE and you're like, I don't think
he's got an office.
He has. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, we don't want to get into the office gossip. We still have to work there. Yeah,
true or false? Number two, Ben Bradley is now the luckiest man in Chicago.
That's true.
Yeah, it is. Who fills Mark's vacancy over at GM? Who does that? Do they have rotating people?
I think they would have rotating people until they announce the hire. Yeah.
All right. And finally, number three, Mark is donating his ties to news people all over Chicago because he's worked all over Chicago.
Hmm. Actually, that's not. Did he tell you that? Because I didn't say that's false.
That is correct. Not I made that up. Well, I did.
He does have great ties.
He does have great,
he does have us, great ties.
I told
him. What we're doing. Actually, this is a good story because we're going to have an estate sale when we sell our house in Evanston, and we're literally selling four floors of everything because we're going to a tiny house in Montana that's already furnished. And I said, you know what, Mark, you ought to sell your ties at the estate sale and we'll donate the proceeds to some charity. We're not sure what, but in Evanston, because we love living here. So that's the plan. He's going to keep two ties for special occasions and the rest of them will be sold at our estate sale and donated to charity.
Look at that. Oh,
that's awesome. You know what I'm going to try and buy, Candace, for Pete? The peppermint tie, the red and the...
I'll take it.
He said he bought it for $1.
It's my style.
Yeah.
Okay, well... If you go high enough, you can have it.
Awesome. I'll pay like 25 times what he paid for it.
Candace.
Yeah, exactly.
Candace, congratulations, and we're also sorry. Candace Sapelsa, Mark Sapelsa's final newscast tonight at 9 o'clock on WGN. His wife, Candace, thanks for joining us. Have a great weekend.
Thank you for having me.
All right, take care.
Bye, Candace. Give Candace all of our cells just in case Mark gets on her nerves. He's here a few weeks.
Wow, what a great woman.
That's awesome. She's very pleasant.
She's probably headed to Zumba class right now. Right. Let's take a quick break. We'll check the big story next on 720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN. Just see those sleigh bells
jingling, ring, tingle, tingling too. Man, I love it. I love this time of year. It's 8:45. Pete McMurray in for Steve Cochran. You guys get your picture taken with Santa Claus?
Not anymore.
Yeah, I actually have it on my phone somewhere.
Do you really?
I think I do, because we actually did this a few years ago. We all got our pictures with Santa from when we were kids and did a photo gallery.
Nice.
Let me see.
I thought you meant like today.
Well, oh, you mean
I
today? Yearly do you go? We used to. Last year we didn't, but we're going to go this year. I only have one kid, though.
So you take a family group photo with Santa Claus.
We'll find a Santa somewhere, or I'll dress in a Santa suit, because I get the Santa suit every year, and we'll take a family picture. Does that count?
Cool. Yeah. That's kind of neat.
That is cool. I don't think I ever took my kids. They were freaking out every
you
time.
You never took your kids to have their picture taken with Santa Claus?
No.
We did the Easter Bunny once, and it was such a terrible experience. That we just every time we walk by, I go, you guys want to go see Santa? No.
Oh
my God. What kind of person wouldn't take their kid to
Santa Claus? See, we would look forward every year to Santa Claus at the mall.
What about growing up? I come from a family of 12 kids. Never did my mother take us.
Well, you have 12 you kids, though. You'd have to either do individually or a huge group shot with Santa Claus.
I think that's why I never did it with my kids, because I never did it.
You never did it with seven kids.
And, you know, we just never, my mom would never stand in line.
I saw Santa in Long Grove a few weeks ago. That was the closest
I got. That's you on Facebook.
If
people are friends with you on Facebook, they'll see that.
I saw that.
Is that your background picture, the cover picture, the cover photo? It should be. You and Santa during the season?
Yeah.
Update that Facebook. Let's go. Make it happen. How much do you think a mall or department store Santa gets paid? What do you think?
It's hourly, right? It's got to be hourly.
For a very good Santa, a really good Santa, what do you think they make per hour?
$200
an hour?
No, I was going to say $10. I was going to say $10 an hour.
Because you know why? $50 an hour.
I think it's a tough job.
It's normally like there was a kid in our high school who was Santa Claus. He was a big guy, football player, and he was Santa Claus at the mall. You know, because that's not the real Santa, obviously. The real Santa's in the North Pole.
If you're a really good Santa, according to the website PayScale, Santa Claus can make as much as $75 an hour.
No.
Wow, I was low.
I would think it'd be more.
$75 an hour.
Nah, because you know what? $100. Because who's gonna pay that when you can get a high school kid to be Santa Claus for, you know, $10 an hour?
Well, I think the really good ones that actually have the real beards and stuff that are part of that Santa union.
Yep.
I wouldn't be surprised if there is.
They're all real. They're all real Santas.
You ever meet a Santa here in Chicago and they have the beard and the whole deal?
I don't think so.
Yeah.
And we like to call them Santa's helpers.
They're Santa's helpers.
Because the real Santa's at the North Pole.
Right, and they're just here helping out.
Mm-hmm. 75 an hour. It's pretty good. How about an average Santa? What do you think he makes?
10.
God, 25.
Now remember.
I know, I keep going low, right?
He's got screaming kids on his lap.
And some might, you know, have
massive
problem.
Talk about 20.
$30 an hour for an average Santa. Santa, that's just a regular Joe Schmo. $15 an hour.
Wow.
What are the hours of a Santa's helper like that? Is it all day? Is it 8 hours straight?
Oh, that's a good question.
Gotta take a break
for cookies and milk?
I'd say 6 to 8 hours, sure. If you're doing Saturday and you have the real beard, you got to get at least 75 an hour. Yeah. Those kids, especially this time of year.
Have you guys ever seen the pictures online? I think WGN-TV did this last year of all, the Santa Claus is over, the Santa's helpers, you know, at the mall.
Yeah.
Who take the pictures over the years, and some are a little scary. You know, right?
I can see that. Look at Dave Ennett showing his throwback picture.
That's
How old are you, Santa? Can you put that on your Facebook page so we can all see it?
It's been on there before, I think. I'll put it back up.
Okay.
This is so cute.
Dave carries it around.
This is like this reminds me of Miracle on 34th Street.
About 10 years ago, when my son was 2, Charlie is 12 now, my wife said, we're going to Macy's. We're going to do the whole deal. We went on a Saturday.
Oh,
do you know
first mistake.
Wow.
Do you know how painful that was?
It's brutal.
To wait in line, and it was 140 degrees at Macy's. Oh, my gosh, was that painful.
But you guys do the group family photo with Santa Claus.
We try.
That's kind of neat.
Yeah. I thought that was normal.
Did you guys ever take your pets? Steve, I know you do this, and Dave, I think you do this too, right? You take your pets to have their picture taken with Santa Claus.
No.
I did that once, and it didn't end well, so we haven't gone back.
No.
We did get a Santa hat for my dog.
Is he wearing it?
He wore it the other day. My wife sent me a picture of him trying it on. He didn't love it. You know, I don't think it was what he really wanted to do. But
Wrigley, like my dog Wrigley doesn't like hats.
It's kind of like putting a Halloween costume on a dog, right? It's tough.
It doesn't work. Are you depressed over the holidays?
No. Are you?
Are you sure? Well, you'd be surprised how many people are depressed over the holidays. We'll talk about that next. Man, I love this time of year because it means drinks with friends.
Oh, the meaning of Christmas.
I got my buddy Peoria Joe and his wife Jill driving up from Peoria, and I'm going to meet them, and we do it every year, at Pippin's at the corner of Rush and Chicago.
Today. What time should we be there?
2 o'clock. Come on by.
Nice.
Have a brewski.
Liquid lunch.
Yeah. Well, it's 2 in the afternoon. You do 2 to 4, and then you got whatever. And it's looking at me like, there's no way in hell I'm meeting you in Pippin's today. Is anyone worried or depressed around the holidays? I mean, come on. We worry about money, right?
Well, yeah. Or maybe missing loved ones.
1 in 7 people worry about money every single day in the run-up to Christmas.
What?
1 in 7 people. I mean,
it's a lot.
A lot of worry.
I would think it would be more, actually.
I would, too.
Yeah.
I think it's kind of low. 37% of people are putting Christmas on a credit card.
And worrying about it after the new year?
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. 3% say they cannot sleep during the run-up to Christmas.
Because they're so excited?
Or they get too much to do.
They are too worried.
About their money?
Yes. They're worried about money.
Boy.
Money woes. 37% of us are putting Christmas... Oh, I just said that, didn't I? 24% are putting Christmas food on credit.
Oh, like, yeah, well, that's expensive. Turkey.
I feel like
ham.
I put everything on credit. I never carry cash. Everything's credit now.
I'm the same way.
And then you pay your credit card online. Mm-hmm. That's what I do. Do you guys do that?
Yes.
Yeah, me too.
Yes.
I rarely carry cash.
Earlier, was it on or off the air? I can't remember. We were talking about all the pumpkin spice things now.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Everything's on sale. If you go to Jewel or, I think it was Jewel we were saying, there's a whole wall of like pumpkin spice Cheerios.
Who knew Cheerios had pumpkin spice?
Oh, actually, we've bought them. The last few years, they had them last year.
Yeah.
Also, Special K pumpkin spice, really good on like a little vanilla yogurt.
Special K.
Yeah.
And where is the pumpkin capital of the world?
Illinois.
Yeah, according to Orion.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. The Christmas tree Frappuccino is available now at Starbucks.
Yummy.
Now, what's the Christmas
Christmas tree frappuccino. Dave, thanks for asking. The limited edition frappuccino is a peppermint mocha cream base that represents the trunk of the tree. Okay?
Okay.
Peppermint mocha cream, that's the trunk. To get the green part, Starbucks is using the maca whipped cream to swirl to emulate the shape of an evergreen.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
Then the tree is decorated with garland of caramel sauce and ornaments that are actually candied cranberries.
Yummy. That sounds great.
What if you have an artificial tree? Sorry.
And the
just
top
thought
off,
I'd ask.
The tree topper is a strawberry on top. Oh. How many calories in the Christmas tree frappuccino from Starbucks?
1,000.
420.
That's not as high as I thought.
But yeah. 50 grams of sugar.
Ooh.
That's a lot. But you could also get it without some of that, couldn't you?
Hmm.
Could you get like a non-fat Christmas tree?
I guess so. I mean, could
that's
you
the artificial
the
one.
Yeah. Oh.
420 calories for the Christmas tree frap. Or you could have a quarter pounder from McDonald's for 417 calories.
Oh, let's go with the Christmas
or
tree.
Or you could get an 8-ounce sirloin for 450 calories. Can or better have- yet, you could have 5 vodka sodas with a lime for 480 calories.
Go. I'm going so you there. Could, all of the above.
So you could have vodka soda, 5 of those, or you could do the Christmas tree frap from Starbucks.
Yeah, that but you still need some protein.
That's the sirloin.
Along with your vodka yeah. sodas.
Coming up after 9 o'clock, we're going to be joined in by CLTV. Jim Cornelison is here. You know him as the anthem singer from the Blackhawks. He's bringing a special friend. Love, Jim. We'll talk to him right after news, top of the hour. It's 720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Here come the Hawks, the mighty Blackhawks. Take the attack.
It is 9:09. We're live on CLTV and 720 WGN. Pete McMurray in for Steve Cochran. Our next guest, he's known simply as the anthem singer. You can hear him belting out the national anthem before every Blackhawks home game alongside some of the bravest men and women of our military. He has a brand new album out with another guest that will be joining us in just a second, Frank Catalano. We'd like to welcome our old friend Jim Cornelison. It's good to see you, man.
Hey, thanks a lot.
You look great. What's going on with you?
I guess it's hair transplants from, you know, same thing Urlacher did, but people keep saying I'm looking good. That's got to be it because I'm not any lighter, doggone it.
I love listening to the radio when there's a game on. I grew up in Peoria. My mother was a Cardinal fan. She always had Jack Buck on the radio. So I grew up at dinner time, we'd listen to the radio. And I've told Dave this. I love hearing Northwestern football on the radio. So when the Blackhawks play, I turn on Weidman and Troy Murray. And I heard you 2 weeks ago sing the national anthem again on the radio. And I sent you a text right afterwards. And I think I worded it like, I love hearing you sing the national anthem at Hawks games because it's like you're singing for the last time. Seriously.
Oh, thank you.
You just belt it out like every single time. It's the same and it's so good.
Well, thanks. It's
That's
a great
a
thing
gift.
To be it's
it really
a great
is.
Thing to be part of, and when you have that much energy coming from that many people, you know, it's a very positive thing and it picks up my energy and it's just a great thing to be
I mean,
great thing
it,
to be part of.
If it's a big game, especially the playoffs and the crowd's going crazy and you got the military standing next to you, you're on the ice and it's probably national TV, how do you not get pumped up for that?
Oh, man, I do get pumped up.
Wow.
And beyond that, I believe in it, right? Because I've been on the ice now. This is my 10th year. And having the military guys down there, you know, I've been hugged. I've been, you know, I've seen tears. I've seen so
sure.
much there. And I've come to realize through emails and messages and things too, how much the anthem kind of reminds people of the purpose of their service and if you've suffered, which many of them have, then they're reminded of the purpose of that suffering. And
right.
to be a little intellectual, what Nietzsche said was, if you can understand the why, you can endure the how. So, and what that means is if they understand like the real purpose of that suffering, they can go forward in life stronger for it. And we remind them of that.
Right.
We remind them of that when we do that anthem, and that's been a great thing to be part of.
10 years ago.
So many people don't want to miss that, too. You know,
oh my
you
gosh.
Want to see the game.
We run in if we're late.
We do, too. We do, too. It's like you don't want to miss the anthem when you sing it.
That's a big pick-me-up, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's wonderful.
And you know, I wasn't planning on leading with this, but just, you know, if I can, you know, it's Christmas time. What we do that reminds our service people and our veterans that what they do matters. The anthem is one of those things, but so is buying them a cup of coffee or you know, you see them with that hat on, that vet hat on or something, and it's Christmas time, right? People get lonely. Mm-hmm. They get down. There's a high veteran suicide rate anyway. Mm-hmm. So let's try to help everybody through that, but our vets too, right?
Absolutely. Very well said. Do you ever get any reaction? I always want to ask you this. Do you ever get any reaction from the visiting team? Any visiting players ever say anything? Or I mean, you're getting off the ice when they're skating.
I don't see them, Dave. That's but I do see, like, Doc Emmerich has been very supportive.
Oh, yeah. Doc loves you.
He's been great. And, I'm blanking the guy's name who just came down from Canada that has been – he's media guy up there, and he has. I was just at this great event for the Blackhawks. Did a Christmas party down at the Museum of Science and Industry.
Yeah, it was super cool.
And he was there, and he just came up and he said, "Man, I don't know if you know how many people in Quebec love when you do that anthem, their anthem. You know, in half French and half English."
I like that too. Honestly, I never really paid attention to it too much. You know, you hear during the Olympics and whatnot, but I like when we play a Canadian team. Because then you get both. It's like a twofer. It's so pretty.
Yeah.
And powerful.
The whole thing has just been a super positive experience. And I think unifying across team lines and across even nationalities, you know, the support I get from Canadians. But I even got emails from Germany and England and Australia and Bangladesh, of all places. You know, I mean, people buy into it.
Take me back 10 years ago, your first time you sang it at the Hawks game. Were you nervous? What was it like?
You know, let's see. Well, the first time I sang it really was in 1996. I was at the Lyric Opera of Chicago, and I came in. I wanted to audition for him because I thought, how much fun would that be to be a part of this thing while I was at the Lyric? They had told me that everybody cheered and be prepared for it. And, I think I was a little cocky about it. Singing with an orchestra is an exciting thing, and you're surrounded by a lot of sound. So I used to singing with all that sound around me, but... not cheering like that. I mean, when I went to sing and the crowd came up like that, I was shocked, surprised, scared by the amount of emotion that kind of welled up inside me, and immediately had to suppress it because you can't get choked up. You can't.
No.
You got to stay relaxed and you got to stay in. You know, you got a job to do, and it's my job to create something for the audience, not my job to feel. Right. So,
oh my God.
Yeah, that was it. I almost lost it. And there's been a couple times. You know, the playoffs, man.
Sure.
How exciting does that get, right? I mean,
you get a World War II vet next to you and it's the playoffs. How do you not get choked up?
Yeah, and the volume level, just the sheer energy in the building goes, you know, goes through the roof.
How do you and Frank Pellico hear each other? That's my question.
We don't at times, right? I don't wear an earpiece or anything. Frank has on a headset, so he can follow me. But, you know, we've done this now. Again, this is my 10th year doing all of them, right?
Wow.
So we've done this together a lot, and you take things on faith. You keep moving forward.
Jenna, you have the best voice. I mean, I've heard you sing at the Aaron Water Show. That's super moving, too, right, as, you know, the flyover is going on. So you're in 80 degrees. You're in, you know, you're on the ice. Do you, when you prepare and you warm up, do you do anything like hot tea, or is there any sort of way to prepare your voice?
Mostly I drink a lot of water, and I'll try to be well-rested. And if I'm in a really social situation, which happens at times, I'll try to find, you know, 10 minutes before I sing just to get away from it so my voice can stop and relax. Mm-hmm. And then once it relaxes, then I'm okay to go again. But talking can be really fatiguing, you know.
Let's do it more.
The Blackhawks, a huge stage, but you did Indy. You did the Indy 500 all over the United States, probably halfway around the world.
Yeah.
Were you nervous?
Yeah, of course, yeah. But nervousness is good, right? I mean, it focuses you. And when you know you're nervous, then you know there's someplace you need to get your head in order to be prepared for the job. So I'd never sung back home in Indiana before. And I really wanted to be, prepared for that.
Sure.
So, Yeah, a very exciting thing to be part of.
And Jim Neighbors, you're going back this year.
Yeah, going back this year, which is...
or next year.
Yeah, it's a great honor. Cool. There's tremendous response from it, and I'm the first person they've had back since Jim Neighbors stopped, you know...
Right. Just passed away, too.
He did, yeah. There was a lot of Twitter activity about that. People really love Jim Neighbors, you know. So, I don't know if... I mean, I grew up with Gomer Pyle, USMC, and what was this? The spinoff was Mayberry, right? The spinoff of Andy Griffith's
yes,
show.
Yes.
Yeah. So you'd hear, golly. But that goofy
Gomer Pyle was really a spinoff from Andy Griffith.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Oh, yes, it was.
There.
Yeah. Yep, it was.
Because it was Goober and Gomer.
Mm-hmm. Goober and Gomer. Right. How do you and Frank hook up? Frank, did Jim call you and you call him? How did that happen?
Actually, I think we met through our friend Jimmy Chamberlain because... Jim had done...
From the Smashing Pumpkins.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Jim played with the Smashing Pumpkins on a song, if I'm not mistaken, a year or two
they
ago.
They had that concert in Northerly Island a couple years ago, and I came out and did the anthem in the middle of their song U.S., which was super cool. And Jimmy had reached out to me, and then he said, hey, come down and... Frank and I, you know, we have this jazz quartet, and we're going to be playing. Why don't you come do a couple songs with us? And I thought, okay.
So Jim came over to my house that day, and we just kind of did a quick rehearsal, and that's pretty much how we started working together, and there you go. And we're finishing up our first album together, Jimmy, who we met through Jimmy Chamberlain, me and Jimmy have four albums out together, so that have all been on the Billboard charts and doing well. So I didn't know if Jim was just going to sing like a song or 100 of them or what was going on, but we became pretty good friends over this last year or so, and that's pretty much how we met.
Frank has a big heart, and he's uber talented. He just played at a Marine Corps Toys for Tots event in New York City, by the way.
Yeah, that was really good, and a lot of good vibes.
Well, you've been all over the world. I mean, when you were 18, was Santana your first tour?
Tony Bennett's "Here's to the Ladies" album tour. I think I was still in high school then, so that was
pretty cool. So you leave high school to go on tour with Tony Bennett.
Well, my mom was very understanding, and all my teachers were pretty cool and whatnot. So, yeah, pretty much all I've ever done since I can remember is play the saxophone. So.
Does Tony call you? I mean, tell me about that conversation.
I actually met him through a famous drummer named Louis Belson. And when I was 14 years old, a freshman in high school, I met Louis Belson out at Elgin Community College. He was doing a clinic there. And he talked to me and he talked to my mom and he asked for my phone number. And Louis Belson was Duke Ellington's drummer, invented the double bass drum. And him and Tony Bennett were friends. So, yeah, it kind of like how me and Jim met. It's no big secret or nothing magical. You're just out doing stuff and good things tend to happen, I think.
Isn't that Chicago? You're always one person away from anybody on the planet.
Yeah. That's true.
You can find anybody on the planet. You're one person away in this city. It's crazy. And you grew up here, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm born and raised.
Well, you can tell. I mean, you look like a Southsider. Who's got a bigger head, Jim or Frank? I mean, the melons in here are just huge.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Where can people find the album? When's it going to be out? Where can they find it?
Well, we're planning on having it come out March, most likely. We now have the next couple weeks leading up to Christmas to kind of hang out and finish mixing it and stuff. So okay. I'm sure it'll be all over the place. If you just Google Jim Cornelison or Frank Catalano, I'm sure it'll be pretty much everywhere. Hopefully get some vinyls in, too, because I like the vinyl personally. But yeah, so I'll know more, I'm sure, in the next month or two. But yeah.
Okay. Keep us posted.
Yeah, for sure.
I'm going to take a break, and then you guys are going to do a song for us, right?
All right.
Okay.
How's that voice? You need 10 minutes of warm-up time? You need quiet time right now, Jim?
Need my quiet time, yeah.
Jim Cornelison, when's the next time you're singing at the Blackhawks?
Tonight.
Is it tonight?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Tonight.
That's right.
Buffalo.
We're back.
That's right. We've been talking about it all morning.
Yeah.
And Frank Catalano in studio with us at 720 WGN. All right, 720 WGN. Jim Cornelison, the anthem singer for the Chicago Blackhawks, in studio with us, along with Frank Catalano, who, Frank, how old is that saxophone, by the way, that you're going to play?
This isn't that old. It's about 10 years old.
It's about 10 years old. It looks like it's been beaten to death, or you put it behind your car and drove around in the snow.
How many days has it been since you've had a break?
I haven't had a day off for a long time. So.
Okay.
It's got some wear and tear at this point.
All right. Jim, step up to that microphone. We're going to test it real quick. You hear him okay?
Sure.
All right. What song are you going to do for us?
Frank had just played Old Christmas Tree at that Marine Corps Toys for Tots event in New York City, and he really liked that. Felt like he could get some good riffs on it.
All right.
We'll do a little short version of that.
Let's do it whenever you're ready.
All right. Oh, Christmas tree, oh, Christmas tree, thy leaves are so unchanging. Oh, Christmas tree, oh, Christmas tree, thy leaves are so unchanging. Not only when the summer's here, but also when it's cold and drear. Oh, Christmas tree, thy leaves are so unchanging.
Love the saxophone. There is just nothing better than a saxophone.
The coveted sitting ovation.
Oh my gosh. I absolutely love it. That's
awesome.
Good stuff. Wow. Nice. Thank you.
It's fun. You know, Frank is uber talented and he's very humble. I mean, if he gave you a list of everybody that he's played with, it's an impressive list. Like John Legend and Lady Gaga and Miles Davis, and it's just
any big names?
No, yeah.
Jim Cornelison.
Just those fringe people, David.
Frank, do you ever get nervous if a big celebrity calls you up and says, "Hey, I want you to play"?
No, I was the most sleep deprived state I was in, though. I had just done my late night Green Mill set, and I was going on probably 36 hours without sleep because I had just come in from New York, and I got a call from Oprah's producer saying Seal is going to be on live TV in a few hours, and I hadn't gone to bed yet. They're like, "Can you come over to the studio? Something happened and we need a saxophone player." I brought in a Barry, I brought in my tenor, and then went home and went to sleep. But so weird stuff happens last minute. But
when Oprah calls,
I was gonna say, can you imagine getting that call? Oprah, Seal, you know, Gaga, just names that you hear every
it
day.
It happens to me all the time.
Yeah. I've heard Frank play at Andy's Jazz Club at the Green Mill, and then of course done some work with him on a number of songs now. And I've been around great musicians, world class musicians, my whole life. You know, and I'm simply amazed by talent where. Like Frank's improvisational ability, the resources, the mental resources, the historical resources, different kind of musical traditions and things that he can draw on.
Right.
At the drop of a hat, this is a guy who can produce really high quality music. His brain's just clicking away, and he can play forever. You want that solo to be 10 seconds, 30 seconds, 5 minutes?
Right, he can do it.
He can just go, and he will have you sitting there with your eyes wide open and your jaw dropped and just loving life. It's great.
I would have loved to be one of your parents when you get the phone call. You're not going to be able to go to chemistry today. You have to go on tour with Tony Bennett. When you're 16. Wow.
Exactly.
Frank Catalano, great to meet you, man.
Nice to meet you. Thanks
we'll
so
have
much
you guys
for...
back. And Jim Cornelison, you know I love you. It's great to see you. Merry Christmas.
Well, great to be here, Pete.
And
thanks
tonight at the Blackhawks,
me.
You can hear Jim do the anthem once again. All right.
Awesome.
It's 720 and CLTV. .42, we're live on CLTV and 720 WGN. Completely. You give your love. God, that sounds good. I love that. If there's one Broadway in Chicago show you need to see, it's this one. Beautiful. The Carole King musical is playing now. In studio with us is the star of the show, playing Carole King, Chicago actress Sarah Bockel. Thank you for coming in.
Oh my gosh, my pleasure.
It's great to see you. You look like Carole King.
I get that a lot.
Doesn't she?
She totally does.
You look like Carole King.
You sound like her too.
If there is one person in music that everybody loves, it's Carole King.
Yeah.
She's sang and written everything, hasn't she?
Yeah.
No pressure.
You know what's funny? When you don't realize it until you see it, right, Sarah? Is that every song, it's like, oh, she wrote that? Right. Oh, she wrote that? Oh, she wrote that?
A song that a million people have covered. You know,
oh my God, yeah.
It's crazy.
Wow. Were you a Carole King fan before you tried out for this role?
I was. I had Tapestry on vinyl, and it's so funny. I remember hearing that the song was, or that the musical was coming out on Broadway and being like, oh my gosh, I just listened to Will You Still Love Me Tomorrow, Amy Winehouse's version. Like, right. Everybody still covers her, and she's just such a classic, like, iconic American songwriter. Absolutely. She's still popular today.
Mm-hmm. You've done regional theater, but this is your first national tour, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you got to be a little nervous.
Oh, yeah.
And this is such a great time to see this story, too. Because, I mean, when I saw it, I felt empowered. I mean, it is about a woman obviously being told, hey, you know, maybe you can't really do this. And look what she did.
Or, I mean, can you imagine being 16 years old and pregnant and being in high school and being like, you know what? I'm going to get on the train and I'm going to go into Manhattan and I'm going to walk into this, you know, production company, and I'm going to sell my song. And kind of, I mean, having it all, like having a baby and having a husband so young but still succeeding, it's I mean, especially for women, it's just one of the most, you know, empowering stories.
Yeah. Well, so many high highs and low lows in Carole King's story, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
What did you learn from doing this?
Oh my gosh. Like the happy stuff, like,
well,
keep going. And
she hits rock bottom and then she seems to reinvent herself
over and over, and just kind of, but also staying true to who she really is. I mean, it's just, it's so inspiring. And just, I mean, every night, especially if you get sick of doing the show, you know, every day, you just think, like, people need to hear her story, people need to know her. And I mean, now she lives in Idaho and she has a farm and she has this, like, you know, peaceful, essentially, but she's also doing concerts like in London over the summers and touring with James Taylor, you know, on her off time. But she created her own life, even though things didn't work out the way that she thought they were going to work out.
How did she hook up with James Taylor? What was that story? Do you know that story?
Well, I know that in the 70s, I mean, they were all hanging. Joni Mitchell was hanging out together. There's these great pictures of them recording in the studio with, like, Joni Mitchell sitting on the floor and, like, she, you know, Carol's like in her music, like writing something down. And here's James Taylor with hair in his face. And, you know, it's just so crazy. It's like they were all in California at the right time, like in the 70s, just all creating music together.
If you had to pick a genre for Carole King, I think it would be hard, just because after seeing this, again, when I was going, she wrote that. Mm-hmm. But the range is like R&B, pop.
Motown. It's, I mean, folk, kind of.
Yeah.
And her sound is so original as well, like her singing voice. And again, like she never really pictured herself as a singer-songwriter. She just thought she was going to be in the background singing for writing these songs for big groups. And so then you hear her voice and you identify with her. It's like simple melodies, simple tone, but also just herself, just so connected to who she is as a person. So then you identify with that.
Telling you, everybody loves Carole King. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of pressure on you.
But also, what helps is that she kind of says she's normal. She's like, I'm a normal person. I didn't really want to be in the spotlight. I kind of was forced into it. And I love, you know, communicating with people and reaching them through my music. So it's all worth it. But it's really nice. You can just kind of be yourself. The role kind of lends itself to that. And the creative team, our director, Mark Bruni, you know, and the producers, they want you to bring your own thing to it.
I'm going to take a quick break and we're going to talk about you growing up in Chicago. And now you're on the national tour. Beautiful, the Carole King musical is playing now. Sarah Bockel in studio. We're live on CLTV and 720 WGN. Beautiful, the Carole King musical is playing now. Sarah Bockel, who plays Carole King, in studio with us. You grew up in Palos, right?
I did, yes.
Okay. Southside. That's right. Suburbs.
I know. I mean, you're a Chicago girl playing on a Chicago stage and touring nationally. That's a big deal.
It's crazy and surreal to be back here performing at the Cadillac Palace. I don't even understand how it happened.
Nothing bigger than that.
Can we just read? Okay, you know Chris Jones, the theater critic for the Tribune, renowned theater critic. Chris has been a host on our show on the station. We love him. You have to hear this review. Not to embarrass you, but Amanda Meyer just showed me this. His review from opening night. He says, when I last saw Sarah Bockel, she was performing on Belmont in Chicago, of course, in Parade. At the Boho Theater Ensemble. Mm-hmm. If you live in Highland Park, you might have seen her in The Pajama Game, a production of the now-defunct Music Theater Company. Or maybe you caught her in 2014 in the Hypocrites production of Into the Woods on Southport. But he said, this is the fourth time I've seen Beautiful, and Bockel's version of Natural Woman was the best I have ever heard.
Whoa! Whoa.
What? I need to send him some flowers.
The best Sarah he has ever heard. And he's not... I love Chris. Takes his art series review seriously.
Oh my God.
Really?
Yeah. All I've ever wanted was for Chris Jones to say, you know, to even like mention you in a review. He's just, I mean, he's what we listen to for, you know, theater reviews in Chicago. And
then he goes on and on and on and on about you. So, but how about that? From the best he's ever heard.
That's impressive.
That's got to be awesome.
Do you know that you have a great voice?
I don't know. I like to do it every night. So I get to live my childhood dream job, which is crazy.
Now, do you post pictures on Facebook and tag your old boyfriends and just rub it in their face?
I don't.
Carole King. You dump me. Go to hell.
You know who I am?
No.
Is it totally cool, though, being on stage? I mean, do you ever see people? I know you probably have family members who come see you, or some people come up to you after and say, hey, we went to high school together.
Or absolutely. Or just, you know, like getting, it's been the last, actually, just a couple of days since the Chris Jones review came out, just like getting texts from people that I haven't heard from in years or high school. I have a friend from high school that was like, hey, can you answer some questions for my student, like she wants to pursue theater. And I was like, absolutely, that's amazing. You know, it's crazy. People just saying like, hey, just hope you're doing well, and like, congratulations. It's really nice.
Yeah, that's so cool. You're so modest.
You've got a friend. It's too late. Natural Woman. I feel the earth move up on the roof. I mean, what's your favorite song to go to every night?
You know, it changes, but it's mostly It's Too Late. Because that was one of my favorite songs before the show even started. That's everybody's breakup song. It was my breakup song, like, for many times. And it's also the most fun to, like, play. That kind of groove, like, da-da-da-da-da-da-da.
Right.
And I hear in bands now, I can hear, like, oh, you listen to Carole King, or you listen to Stevie Nicks, or you're influenced by Joni Mitchell. Like, I can still hear her influence in, like, Haim is, like, a girl band.
Three girls.
Yes, I hear, like, I listen to them, and I'm like, oh, my God, you loved the singer-songwriters of the 70s.
Who else inspired you besides Carole King when you were playing and singing growing up?
Oh, my gosh. Janis Joplin was a big one when I was little. I loved her sound, and just like, my brother got me one of her CDs.
How can you not? I mean, belting out that music.
Oh, God.
God, I love Janis.
Just ripping her heart and her chords out on the floor and stomping on them.
Right.
It's so funny. Chris Jones says Amy Winehouse in the review, and I'm a huge Amy Winehouse fan, and all that kind of stuff. I don't know. Stevie Nicks, I'm a big Fleetwood Mac fan.
How do you not love Stevie Nicks?
Ugh.
She's like the one ring. I'm sorry, I was spinning around on television. Yeah.
With the scarves.
Seriously, you look like Carole King. It's so weird to have you in studio here. I can't wait to see the show. Darlis has been talking it up.
Oh, that's awesome.
You've seen it twice?
I have to see Sarah's version. I saw it the last time it was here, which you were
no
in.
No pressure.
Yeah,
yes.
You were in that production.
I played Abby's like little teeny role friend at the beginning, Betty, who's like kind of like Carol following her around. Like, I love you.
But I need to see the best version of Natural Woman.
Oh,
in this, that's a great act.
Get ready.
You just well deserved.
Sarah Bockel, the Carole King musical playing now. Beautiful. It's great to see you.
Thanks.
Continued success.
Yeah.
And rub it in your old boyfriend's face.
No.
I feel the urge.
It's 720 WGN and live on CLTV. All right, that does it for us. Thanks again to Sarah Bockel. Beautiful. The Carole King musical is playing now. I can't wait to see it. God, was she great. Just wonderful.
I know. I'm going to go see her next week.
Man.
We grew up like around the same area in the South Suburbs, too. So we were reliving like Hackney's and the Plush Horse. And
Hackney's.
South Suburbs.
They were going down memory lane.
Yes.
South Suburbs.
I'm sorry. I missed it talking about high school.
Well, Amy, it was just like 10 years ago, right?
Amy and Jen, it's good to see you guys.
Hello.
How are you?
Great. We're so rarely in here in the daytime. It's
I'm
so exciting.
Never here. It's like I'm like a possum. I don't know what's happening.
And the sun just came out. It's very nice.
It's lovely.
Isn't it? Yeah.
It's lovely. We've got lots to do today. Lots to talk about. We're going to start off talking a little bit about the LA wildfires. That's a big thing happening.
Okay.
How people can help. There's a lot of ways to get involved.
Okay,
so we're going to be talking about that. But then we're going to shift a little bit and talk about the future. There's so much like Jetson stuff that is actually happening now. So we're going to be talking about that, including ways to live past 100.
I don't need that.
Yeah. I'm planning on it.
I think I'm going to cash out at 87.
You think 87?
I think 87 is a good number.
I'm going like for 103. People in my family have made it past 101.
Oh, wow.
So really? I feel like my odds are good unless I do something stupid. So, like, never say never.
Never say never.
I'm hoping
never
like know. 50. Jen?
Yeah.
Have a great show and a great weekend.
Thank you so much.
Okay.
This is 720 WGN Chicago.